Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. My wife said, let's go see The Patriot this weekend. And when you have a wife who wants to go see war movies with you, you got to go. You got to take the opportunity. So, although I dragged her to see Saving Private Ryan, I took her to a relatively historically accurate film. And she, my loving, beautiful wife, took me to one that relatively wasn't very relevant. I mean, accurate. As far as I could tell. But then I'm just a guy living in the 21st century now who sort of has an interest in history. And I know when I'm being chucked and jived. I know when I'm seeing the Disney version of history, you know? Now, these guys that made this movie, The Patriot, Emmerich and Devlin, where do you know the name from? Come on! Did you see Independence Day? Didn't you stand in line? Schaefer was in line 4 days trying to get tickets for that. And he never did get in to see it. Independence Day, they made that movie. Now, that was the feel-good movie of 4 summers ago. Remember, we all went to see Independence Day, and we came out with nothing but the milk of human kindness running through our veins for our fellow brothers on Earth, because we beat the Martians. And all the black guys, and all the sand dudes, and the sand jockeys, and all the white guys, and all the Asians, and everybody, all the slopes, we all got together, and we beat those Martians. So, you know, it ain't such a bad place, Earth, and maybe that guy that lives next door to me that's the wrong color, I'll think twice about it. And that was the moral of that story. So I'm watching this Patriot. And suddenly I realize that I'm getting the same pitch from the same guys, only now they're taking a real event, the American Revolution, and they're working their magic with that. Now, do I agree with Spike Lee that the movie was a complete and utter chaotic representation of history and there wasn't any slaves or anything in it? You know what? I don't know what bug Spike's got up his rear end from any day, one day to the next, but I will say this. As much as everybody wants to sort of throw all that stuff out, right, and they would say, look, let's get back to just seeing America in a positive light. As much as we all love to do that, we keep screwing these things up, and somebody's got to say something. Somebody's got to say something about this stuff that they keep pouring into us. You can't just say, you know what, it's been so long since we've been able to just feel good about ourselves as a country. Come on, Henry, just go with the flow. Just go to a movie like The Patriot and go, hey, that's fantastic. And no, it doesn't really look that much like Braveheart. And it's a really unique film. And no, at the very end there, when he's in that big blood battle with that British officer and his face has kind of gone blank, it doesn't look like his face going blank at the end of Braveheart. That's just your imagination, Phil. Good God, I saw the end of this movie, at the end of this Patriot, his face kind of does one of these kind of hypnotically happy looks, like he's, you know, either he's hypnotized himself into feeling good, or somebody just mainlined a little morphine, and he's laying there with this goofy look. The same thing at the end of Patriot, the movies. As a matter of fact, he rides up and down the battle lines with a flag like in Braveheart. Now, look. I know, you know, this dude sitting across the aisle from me at the end of the movie, man, at the end of The Patriot, this dude, about 55, guy in shorts with his wife, nice guy. Yeah, he's giving it the old rah-rah. Round of applause. And at one point, there's a black character who is a member of the Continental Militia, some bullcrap. He's in the militia, the South Carolina Militia. And this black character has earned his freedom by being 12 months in the service of the Continental Army of the Militia or something. And the white guy stands next to him and he says, I guess you made your freedom, didn't you? That's right, I made my freedom and I'm here on my own accord. I want to be, I want to contribute to America's freedom. He says, well, I'm glad you did. And the guy sitting across the aisle from me goes, yeah, me too. Look at The Patriot's a movie that's pretty good in parts. It's also a film that smacks of that kind of Emmerich Devlin thing where white people need to feel good about themselves. So let's sort of re-sculpt history a little bit so that they can. Okay, so number one, the slaves that were in this film, they'd all been freed. Yes, sir. Number two, man, you never seen happier slaves in your life. You never. God, were they happy. They were just, they had a freaking clam bake in one scene of this deal. They're clam baking on the beach there in South Carolina with all the white boys that are down there, and everybody's just doing a freaking square dance. And at the beginning, they got some mammy working the kitchen, right? And she's looking strangely like Aunt Jemima. And she's just as happy as a pig in slop.
Massa says we going out there win that war against the British. Yes, sir.
Oh, no, no, but they didn't talk that way. They talk like this. Annie, why don't you go get the kid? Yes, sir, okay, I'll go get the kid, you know, and she went. And so there's none of that gwine crap. Now, you're telling me that that gwine crap didn't exist? Why don't you read a little Charles Dickens? Oh, excuse me, I know it's a book. Might be a little tough going, but if you read Charles Dickens' American Notes, he quotes a black stagecoach driver who is driving a stagecoach for him as he heads out into the Western Plain, and that cat was gwining all over the place.
I gwine lickety-split over the hill there, man.
Now, that is contemporary writing from the 1850s. Anyway, I digress. So if you want to feel good about America and pretend like that slavery wasn't, you know, all that bad, and there was a little bit of, you know, some people, yeah, they had to do the Aunt Jemima bit, but other than that, it was pretty sweet going. Yeah, we picked a few cotton, you know, and the kids are romping through the cotton fields, the little white kids, as these people are bent over, pick, you know, loading up their 50th bale of the day. If you want to pretend like all of that didn't happen, go see the movie. If you want to, if you're tired of guys like me, and maybe you're a little bit tired of guys like Spike Lee, and you don't want to hear us belly aching and pointing out the fact of the matter when it comes to these kinds of representations of history by Hollywood, by all means, go see the film. Feel good about yourself and your country. Go home, have yourself some flapjacks, tie a bandana around your head, and invite your colored neighbor over for some ribs. Go on over there and look at the movie. And pretend like, you know, we did. Look, it's a great country. I love it. I pay taxes. I live here. I love my country. I love America. It's a great ideal that we're trying to live up to. That's the whole idea of men created equal, pursuit of happiness, etc. It is an ideal that we continually strive for. We didn't automatically earn it or create it when we formed this country. We have this ideal that no one else in the history of the world ever thought that they would create or sculpt out of nothing, and we did. And as a nation, we're unique, and we try to strive for that ideal, okay? We haven't quite gotten there yet, but we will, I'm sure. I feel confident that we will. We have a lot of well-meaning people in this country. I think we outweigh all of the other ones, and so we're going to do real good. But until then, man, you got to sort of look at the way it was, how it is, and how we'd like it to be. The way it was wasn't the way it was in that movie, okay? Any more than the way it's going to be is some cat floating down here from outer space wanting to take out revenge on the fact that we shot two other guys out of the sky in Roswell in 51, or whenever that was. And that dude, Brent Spiner, you know the guy from Star Trek who played that whack, that zapped out scientist? Thank God. That was the one death in that film that I was really kind of, that's, you know, that's okay. That's one Earthman I don't really mind seeing him go. Data was cool, but Brent, that character in that Independence Day, you like that guy? I think he should have had the lifeblood sucked right out of him. So the movie is this rich cat who's a real nice guy, and he goes out and does all of these noble things for freedom, like using a musket as if the thing is a modern day carbine rifle or an automatic weapon. This guy is firing that musket off every 16 sec. This guy is like, he's using it like it's a machine gun. Now, apparently, it took 30 seconds to reload a musket. This guy is doing it in five. In there, boom, boom. And he's blowing all these British guys out of the saddle. And, just, you know, he's blowing all these British guys, if you'll pardon the expression. Anyway, I had an argument with my wife as we walked out of there. She says, God, you know, why can't you just let us feel good about our history as a nation? I said, I got no problem feeling good, but I respect history enough to know what happened, and I'd like to see it accurately represented so that we can get a good angle on where we were, what the country is rooted in, and where we can sort of... Look, at the American Revolution, I happen to know, was a revolution of landowners. Tell that to the average person. They don't know what you're talking about. What are you talking about, landowners? The people that started the American Revolution were wealthy landowners. The guy on the street, some guy running a fish market, some guy pushing a shopping cart with newspapers in it, he didn't care. He didn't care. The guy that started the American Revolution was a moneyed landowner. That whole taxation without representation stuff, those are rich people talking, folks. Whether you want to believe it or not, whether you want to accept it or not, whether I should mention it or not, whether it's true, it happens to be true, or you don't want to believe it's true, it doesn't make any difference. When you hear somebody say that whole, this taxing is killing me, and taxation without representation, and tax this and tax, that's a rich person talking. And that's okay, nothing wrong with that, because it took the wealthy, in the case of the American Revolution, to bring along the rest of their countrymen. Good for them. I'm glad they did. So the Marines give me this crap. I said, look, you know, I know how it was. Well, you know what? The point is to create a feeling of what the American Revolution was. I said, let me ask you a question. Your name's Maria Sanchez, right? Yeah. What if I go ahead and write your life story, but instead of you being white, let's make you black. Instead of you having four kids, let's give you eight. And instead of you being relatively comfortable as a middle-class woman, let's make you poor. And instead of being a really healthy and responsible woman, let's give you a heroin habit. Well, I'm trying to create a composite character here, Maria, so that we can understand certain aspects of American society. She says, yeah, but you're messing with my name. You got it. Same difference. So Hollywood can do anything they want. They can make any kind of a movie they want. I'm going to go, you better believe, because I got my Screen Actors Guild card. It gets me in free, at least during Oscar time. So I'm going to go watch these movies, and I love it. But don't try to sell this as history, and don't try to pitch me that you're giving me some accurate story of how this country, engaged in its initial war of independence and the general tenor and attitude of the people at the time. And by the way, this rich guy, this Benjamin Martin character, the Mel Gibson, oh, this guy, he's not only wealthy, but he's got all these Davy Crockett dudes friends, these cats with fur hats. He goes into every bar and tavern and rounds them up and creates a militia out of all these guys that are drinking their breakfast. And it has all of these 20th century touches and 21st century touches like that. So anyway, go see the movie. I did. It was a blast. And when you walk out of there, let me ask you, just ask yourself one question. Do I believe it or not? The movie's a little bit more believable than Independence Day. And a whole lot less believable than Saving Private Ryan, so there's something in there. But if Mel Gibson does one more movie where he's on a horse carrying a flag, rallying the troops, I'm going to swallow a musket ball. Okay? Phil Henry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. So what did you do? Was this past weekend you went out to Agora to a country joint? Okay. Schaefer and I were just comparing tequila stories of the weekend, and Taylor too. Anyway, the best part of this Patriot, the best part of this movie for me was when the little militia that Mel Gibson is leading, they get into some firefight, some scuffle with the Redcoats, and they have to flee. You know, they turn tail and run. They got to get out of there, and they have to hide out with the Gullah people of South Carolina. Now, you may not be familiar with the Gullah people, who inhabit a number of islands, or maybe there's just one island, I'm not sure, off the coast of South Carolina. The Gullah are African American, descendant of peoples from the west coast of Africa, some say Sierra Leone, and they have maintained a lot of the cultural trappings of the peoples of West Africa. For instance, if you go to West Africa, to some areas of West Africa, you'll see the exact same kind of basket work and basket weaving that you see among the Gullah people of South Carolina. And you'll see some of the same kinds of hats and the same kind of fishing, spear fishing, that is done by the people of West Africa is done by the Gullah people of South Carolina. So there's a anthropological theory that these folks descended from the tribes people of West Africa. Well, anyway, so Mel Gibson and his band, they flee the British and they hang out with the Gullah people, because that's where Mel's cook is from. Or the woman with the bandana, the Aunt Jemima, I don't know who the hell she was. But they go, and her name was something like Sassafras or Sassy or Lavoris or something. Lavoris! Yay! And it's, can you imagine some black guy seeing his white master coming after getting away from the guy for 5 years and go, all right, great to see you! That's what it was. It was like Old Home Week. It's like Old Home Week with Mel Gibson and his family and the Gullah people. And not only they're very comfortable with each other, but they actually have a wedding. And my God, about halfway through this whole scene, it's a freaking Caribbean clam bake. They're playing the steel drums. They're dancing in the sand. They're sharing the fish. The black kids and the white kids are all hanging out together. You know, this is, if this actually happened, which it didn't, You got to ask yourself why we weren't taught this in school, that black slaves recently freed were hanging out with, partying with, having fish fries and clam bakes with revolutionary militia people. There is truth to the fact that the indentured white servants who came here from Europe and the black slaves did fraternize back in the 17th century, the 17th and parts of the 18th century, when there was such a thing as indentured white servants. Those are the ones who were enslaved but could buy their freedom. And the black slaves, they can't buy theirs. Well, you know, some people don't get it all. They hung out together. They fraternized. One of the reasons why there became racial strife in this country is because the white indentured servants were offered their freedom if they would join state militias to put down slave rebellions. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, you had whites and blacks hanging out and getting drunk together for a good portion of this country's history. But as soon as the whites were offered their freedom to join militias because the white militias were depleted so they could put down these slave rebellions, they obviously went ahead and got their freedom, and they found themselves at odds with these people that they were hanging out with. And this created a racial rift. Now, that's the truth. That's history. That ain't what you're going to get in The Patriot. What you're going to get is a freaking clam bake. They're playing the drums. Jesus, I thought I was looking at Lollapalooza there for a while. I don't know what the hell I was looking at. You know, there's so much crap. You know, you're going to look at this, and you're going to say, well, you know what, it's a nice Saturday afternoon. Yeah, Bob Marley was going to bust out. I don't want to wait in vain for you. And somebody with the rum punch and, you know, your bungalow's ready. Oh, it was nice. Look, man, I'm up for a good movie on a Saturday afternoon as much as the next slob. But you know what? I don't play that. It was all Yuri, man. And I ain't going to go in there and have some guy, you know, lay it out there for me, and all that cornball just comes spilling off the screen, and the British couldn't have been more evil. Couldn't have been more evil. Just evil, evil, evil bastard. This Colonel Tavington guy, he was cutting them up and slicing and dicing, blowing away everybody, shooting them. He was a pile of crap, this guy. And Cornwallis, the general of the British Army, he was a moron. So in other words, this is what they're selling you. And we said, because we want to feel good, so we go to the movies to feel good. That's their job, to make you. It occurred to me, there is only one reason why they make movies. There's only one. And there's only one reason why people go to see them. Only one. Only one. It's to feel good and to feel better. Okay, that's the only reason why they're made and why they're consumed, is so that you'll feel better. And that's why people go to see them. And whatever it takes, you know, in making one, whatever it takes. Now, I don't go to the movies to necessarily feel bad, but I do go to the movies to be surprised. No, they don't want that. What they want is feel good. So that's why we got Mel Gibson riding up and down with his the Patriot. What's going to be next with this cat, man? Is he going to conquer another planet now? Let's see. He was a Scottish dude with no underwear. Now he's a Patriot. How about if he, Mel Gibson. I know. How about if he plays a Black Panther? I got it. Mel Gibson can be Martin Luther King in his next film. That's it. Got your next role there for you, Mel. Malcolm X. No, I got it. Those two guys already. How about Huey Newton? Oh, I know you're white, but you can pull it off. You're Scottish, you're American, you're something. Every movie I look at you, you're either a nutted out Vietnam veteran or you're some limey. What the hell is that guy? Is he a limey? What is he? Where's he from? He's born where? Born in New York. He's like no American I know. I never seen a guy like that. He's got some limey accent. Where'd he get that? Moved to Australia as a kid. So is he American or is he a, what is he? I don't even think he's a white man. I think there's some Native American in him. Or Mexican or something. That's your name. Pancho Villa, starring Mel Gibson, coming up next. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Wow.
Phil Hendry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. And we'll take some phone calls because there's a few people hanging on here. There's one guy holding on the line who wants to talk about... you want to talk about the reality of the happiness of slaves, sir?
Your comments, and I felt that it was... I don't think it's very well thought out because...
Well, what wasn't thought out?
Well, first of all, the American slave was not the as unhappy as you people want to point him out to be.
Well, come on, he was a slave, so how happy can a slave be?
Well, if you are, you know, there's a difference between being in chains in a dungeon and having a life that is better than the one that you come from.
How do you know all of this, sir? I mean, this is, are you black?
Well, I don't have to be black. I don't think black people know better. I've done a lot of reading on the subject. There are quite a number of things posted on the internet that have to do with...
Well, what are you saying? This, the black slave in America was happy?
Well, in comparison to what he had been through in Africa, if you think about it, Africa is worse than America. Of course they wanted to be in America.
Black slaves in the United States at that time were a people who were forced into work without pay, forced to live on a plantation, punished brutally if they were runaways, for instance, possibly with death, punished for laggard behavior, the stories of having limbs cut off, hands, fingers cut off because their work was not up to snuff. They were bought and sold. The women forced into sexual, and I'll be very polite here, sexual relationships with plantation owners. You could call it rape if you want to.
Well, no, but you're talking about how it was here, but in comparison to Africa, if you lived in Africa, it was hot. They have a lot of insects. They have a lot of... in America, it was green. It was cooler. It was more lush and beautiful. The United States at that time had shrimp, steaks and things like that. In Africa, they did not have shrimp at that time.
What do you mean they didn't have shrimp at that time? I'm talking...
No, Mr. Henry, what I'm saying is many of the things that slaves could catch and eat, they were eating corn on the cob. Africa did not have that. So I think in a lot of ways, the Patriot is historically accurate. And again, I told you, I read up on it on the internet. Now,
it was historically accurate from what standpoint? That they're happier?
They had to be happier because they were eating better. It's difficult for me to understand why you can't see this.
I'm not saying that America wasn't a better country.
Well, America was a better country. We had ships, railroad trains. We had, at that time, restaurants, some taverns, stores. You could buy things. You could shoes. They had no shoes when they lived in Africa. They did not have houses. They lived, for the most part, in tents. They came to America, and they lived in a house as opposed to a tent that you had to put up every night. You had to roll it away and put it up.
What people are you talking about? African people?
Yeah, the African tribes people.
Well, what do you mean? So every night they're taking the tent down, rolling it up, and what?
Every night they take a tent down, they roll it up, and they walk to some other town and set the tent up. That's what they are.
So you're saying most of them were nomadic, right?
No, most of them were nomadic. The other thing that's interesting about the slaves, we had beautiful beaches. They could sleep out on the beach.
Well, they have beaches in Africa, and they have...
No, but they didn't. You couldn't sleep out on them because there's too many bugs because it was too hot. But you could sleep on a beach in America. The other thing that we had in America were stagecoaches, so you could get from one place to the next.
What? Here's the thing that I don't get about what you're saying. Let me open the lines up for further discussion on this at 1-800-449-8686. And your name is what, sir?
I beg your pardon?
What is your name?
Yeah, Phil, my name is Austin. And
where do you live?
I live in Lancaster.
Lancaster. All right. What slave took a stagecoach from one town to the next?
I'm saying, you know, a lot of slaves did. The ones that were tried to escape...
Would take stagecoaches.
Would go from one town to the next by way of stagecoach, yes, sir. A lot of them traveled by train. So So, again, that's a better thing than it was in Africa.
All right, well, you're speaking in relative terms that life was better in America than it was in Africa for the black slaves that came here. But there's one thing you're leaving out.
What is that?
You're leaving out the fact that the black people who lived in America were slaves nonetheless. In Africa, they were free men. So don't you think that it would be better to live as a free man in a tent than as a slave in a house?
No, I do not.
Why don't you think that?
Because I would rather live in a house than in a tent.
You'd rather be a free man in a tent. You'd rather be an enslaved man in a house than in a tent.
I'd rather be, I don't know what you said, I would rather be a slave living in a beautiful four-bedroom home than an African living down in with mosquitoes.
Why? Why would you? I mean, don't you value your freedom?
No, yes, I do value my freedom, but I also want to live, and I want to live good. And like most Americans, want to live good.
So you'd sacrifice your freedom as a free man in order to live in a four-bedroom home?
Yeah, but it was a beautiful existence for many of the black American Africans. They got up in the morning, they picked some cotton, they went back to the four-bedroom home or wherever they lived.
They weren't even living in the four-bedroom house, Jack. You're talking about the guy that's the butler or the cook. Most of the slaves were working out in the fields or living in huts, in shanties. They're living out in some crap can, okay? You understand what I'm saying? They're living out in the slave quarters.
But the slave quarters were better than the lean-to teepee that they lived in Africa.
Well, first of all, they're African, so they didn't live in a teepee. They lived in whatever they lived in.
Yeah, they lived in some hut.
That's right. But the fact is that the slave quarters probably weren't all that much superior to whatever it was they were used to in Africa. Your name's Austin, right?
Yes, sir.
Let me find out this gentleman. What is your sir?
Mike, Virginia Beach.
Okay, Mike in Virginia Beach. And where are you from, Austin?
I'm from Lancaster, California, sir.
Okay, Mike, go ahead.
You know, Austin, all those things were available to black people, or were available back then, but black people didn't have any access to them. Black people couldn't eat in restaurants in this country without walking in the back door until the 60s, the 1960s.
That's true, but they could eat in restaurants, which they could not do in Africa. See what I'm saying?
They could eat out of the garbage cans out of restaurants, maybe.
No, but they
didn't have any access to that. I mean, you make it sound as though coming over here were a beautiful experience.
Well, all I'm saying is they came to a place that had far better accommodations than Africa did.
Well, no, sir, I can't agree with that either, because I've actually been to Africa, and most of the places they have over there are just about as nice as you'd find anywhere,
about,
and they were back then.
But I'm talking about the 18th century in Africa. They were living in a tent. They were living in a cave.
You know what? That was no strange situation to them, having lived that way for generations.
Absolutely.
It was home to them.
But then they got to come to America where they could live in a four- or five-bedroom home. With central heating and air conditioning and all of that.
Yeah, and be beaten half to death if they didn't work.
Wait a minute.
From dawn
what do you mean by central air conditioning? It's the 16th or 17th century, okay? So there wasn't any central. Thank you for your call, sir. There wasn't any central.
No, but it existed, and the chance of them to live in an air conditioned house.
It was in the, what is it, 1776? There was no air conditioning.
But the chance existed.
Of what? Of eventually having air conditioning?
Yes.
All right, so eventually, yeah, okay, I guess you could say, hey, you're a slave now, but someday there's going to be air conditioning. Oh, man.
You know, you can laugh, sir, but you spent a good part of your hour talking about running down American revolutionaries who fought for this country.
I'll tell you something else that the movie did get right. The British did offer all black slaves freedom if they fought for the British Army. And in point of fact, the British, the country of Great Britain, outlawed slavery long before America did. Los Angeles on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello? What is your name, sir?
How you doing, sir? My name is Mr. Smith.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Okay, obviously you don't want to use your name.
That's my name.
Have you got a first?
My first name is Mike.
Okay,
Mike Smith.
Mike, and this is.
My name is Austin.
Go ahead, Mike.
Austin. Well, sir, I've been listening to this gentleman, and this is the problem when you have lies that's been taught in America since this country has been America. American economy, the European economy has continued since day one been dependent upon the wealth that's been stolen out of Africa. For this man to sit on a radio station, it's just a sad state of affairs.
What are you talking about?
Continuing lies that continue to be taught in this country. This is why our kids are so thoroughly screwed up. This is why the school system is so screwed up. Because lies are being taught. There's no slave ever come over here, wanted to be on anybody's ship, no anybody's plantation, to be hung, to be killed, to be raped. For you to sit there and say Africa is in a wretched condition, and America offers something better,
it's
so hypocritical, because to this day, America and the European economy is dependent on the wealth that you steal from Africa. So how can you say this is better if you're over there stealing it?
Well, I'll tell you how I can say it, because number one, when the African slaves came over to America, they had a far better lifestyle in terms of barbecue.
America
on the
never
beach.
Had a far better lifestyle. You need to get this straight.
When's
first
the first
thing, Africa is not Africa.
When
it's the land of Israel. You
have
know who God chose them.
Oh, you're one of them
white
Islam
people
guys.
Who oppress and continue to
you're
oppress people
Islam
of color
guys.
In this country.
Wait a
you
minute.
Know who God's chosen people are.
Wait
but
a
I'll
second.
Let you in on a secret, brother. We're going to go home.
What are you talking about? What was the question here that you asked about?
Back.
What was that barbecue question?
I want to ask the gentleman, when's the first time they had barbecue in Africa? You don't know, do you? But they had it in America years before. So a guy could go, well, he turned his radio up so he could hear just how much, how stupid he sounded in the last 7 seconds. When the Africans got off the boat, they didn't have to wear paint on their faces anymore. So there you go.
Hello?
Yeah, did you hear that, or are you listening
Hello?
To the radio?
Hello?
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 Are you there,
Hello?
Sir? Yeah. You got
Hello?
It? Okay, thanks for calling. Here is Rancho Cucamonga on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, how you doing?
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to address some of the comments that this Mr. Austin made.
My name is Austin. How are you?
Yeah, Austin, I'm fine. I think what you're looking at is totally from a white point of view.
Well, of
course. You see, you're saying that everything that the slaves were exposed to when they came to this country
was better
was
than
good,
yeah.
or better than what they were exposed to in their homeland.
Yes, sir.
Well, how can you say that because you never lived there?
Well,
those
I know what Africa
those people who were exposed
stuff.
Or had been used to living their lifestyle in their land.
Well, yes,
you
sir,
can't say that they were unhappy with that.
How could you say they
because
be
of the fact that that's the way they grew up, that's what they were used to, and that's their lifestyle. Now, you take
happier.
Those people out of their lifestyle, bring them to a brand new world that's
well,
controlled,
right.
and in
Hold
this
on, let
place,
him finish.
They didn't get off the ships. They were thrown off the ships.
Wait
okay?
a second. You got something wrong there because, first
no,
of all,
I think
in
you
Africa,
had a lot wrong.
Well, wait a minute. In Africa, they didn't have barbecue. They didn't have...
Well, you get off of the barbecue
Listen,
and the shrimp and everything.
What does barbecue have to do with
I'll tell
Africa?
You what it has to do. First
okay?
of all,
that's
it is one
something
of those
that you
ones.
Like to eat.
No,
okay?
It's
you, as an American white man,
well,
love to eat barbecue.
Well, you're an
okay?
American.
That doesn't have anything to do with what the people in
when
Africa
the slaves
ate.
Got here,
they were very happy with what they ate.
First of all, they didn't have to worry about being attacked by HIV-infested monkeys as long as they were living in America. As opposed to the fear that they had.
Well, okay, hold on. I got to take a break. What do you mean attacked by HIV-infested monkeys?
That's what was going on. That's how come the countries, because the monkeys over there, the animals, bit them.
Well, let me ask you this, Mr. Austin. How did AIDS get into this country?
Well, it got into this country by people bringing it in.
Well, it got into this country through...
But the monkey
through
was
white
the one that
people
started.
In 1984.
Well, the monkey
Now, are you
started.
Saying that they were having sex with monkeys, too?
White people, no. White people won't have sex with no monkey. I'm saying the monkey bit some black guy, and then he gave it to a white stewardess.
Well, yeah, right.
All right. Hold on.
Really have to deep end,
no,
right.
sir, no, sir.
All right, hold the line here. And then he gave it to a white stewardess. All right. 1-800-449-8686. This guy, Austin, and various callers are arguing, did the slaves have it better in America or if they'd stayed in Africa? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Let me see if my friend Austin is here. I started the show by talking about having seen The Patriot, And I got a call from a guy who believes that, you know, and it was my feeling, and it still is my feeling and belief that the Patriot, the movie, yeah, it's a movie. And so if they're really going to give you the historical lowdown from a you know, an actual place of truth, it's going to be a little boring. Because in the film, they got all these slaves that are not quite slaves. They're sort of free, and they're grinning and slappy and slap-happy, and they're running off and fighting a revolution with all the white people. And they're sort of like assistant people in this movie. When you do see a black guy, he's just sort of an assistant guy. I heard all the crap that Spike Lee was taking. I don't even know what the hell Spike said. But I will say that I know history, and that just wasn't the way it was. Now, if I want to go run off and see the American Revolution version of Independence Day, because it was made by the same guys that made that movie, that's one thing, but don't tell me it's real. Now, I do have a gentleman on the line who believes that... First of all, I got to ask you, did you see The Patriot?
Yes, sir, I saw it, and I thought it was historically accurate.
Well, even with all those smiling slaves?
Yeah, they all looked, yes, because the slaves really got, they were having a good time compared to Africa.
All right, let me take some more calls here, all right?
Sure.
Here's Augusta on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yeah, how you doing?
Yes, sir, good.
Austin, man, I don't
sir,
know.
Sir, you got to turn that radio down.
There's Augusta
on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Turn it way down. Turn it off.
Okay, Austin.
Now, do you have your car window rolled up?
Yes, okay.
Austin. Maybe Mike Schaefer could have told you all of this before you got on the air, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, is your are you on a remote phone or are you on a speaker?
Yes, I'm on a cell phone.
Yes, sir, but do you have one of those mouthpieces or do you have
no,
the phone?
No, I don't. I do not.
Okay, because it was a little difficult hearing you. Go ahead.
Okay.
Austin, are you there?
I'm right here. Yes, sir.
Austin, your facts are way off. There's no way in the hell that a black man coming to America as a slave would be happy to be over here getting whipped, beat, sold, separated from his family, and left out to die,
wait,
to be hung, and every injustice that you could think of be done to him.
We
were experimented on barbecue, my... Man, you can take your barbecue and shove it.
Wait a second.
First of all, if you think about
better.
Barbecue, they had barbecue in Africa
no,
because you cooked on an open flame. Therefore, that is barbecue.
But not
do not explain
way.
Barbecue not because you're talking about barbecue as if something big.
No.
It's just a sauce. Come on,
American
partner.
No,
use
American
your intelligence.
No, sir,
apparently,
I'm
you did
American,
not go to school
American
and experience education.
What about
where did
sauce?
You get your education
what
from?
Is, what about, what
where
about,
did you get your education from?
What about
because somebody
sauce?
Severely missed. Led
no,
you.
Sir. I'm
if
saying,
I took white people and enslaved
sauce?
Them, I can
what
guarantee you that
sauce?
They would not like it.
Wait a
white
second.
People were slaves in England, and they did not like it. What did they do? They rebelled against that government for slavery. So therefore, how can you speak that a black man would like slavery? You're talking about living in a four-bedroom home.
Mr. Henry,
he lived in a shack.
All right, let him answer your question. Let him answer your question.
First of all, you left out barbecue sauce, but I guess you don't want to address that. Thirdly, the barbecues we had in America were better than the ones they have in Africa. And England has terrible... I rebel against...
What is it with barbecue, man? What is you just like barbecue? So what is it with barbecue?
And the food in England's so bad, I'd rebel too.
Have you ever been to England?
Oh, hell yeah.
You've been to England. You've ate in England. Have you been to Africa? Have you been to Africa?
Africa can't be no good.
Have
shape.
You been to Africa?
No, but I wouldn't want to.
Oh, okay,
would you?
Okay. Case closed.
All right, case
I have
closed.
In my conversation.
Great, sir. Thank you very much. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.